Buccaneers fans, the Sage is back. He's healthy. He's at Hooters, and he's really healthy. He's got his brand new hat, the signature 70 hat, which is taking training camp by storm. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee D. Kemper of JoeBucksFan.com is here, and this is the Ira Kaufman podcast. He's the king of Newport Richey, Uncle Ira, the custodian of Canton, the Sage of Tampa Bay Sports. Ira, how are you today? Are you fired up?
Not only fired up, but I'm full of piss and vinegar. I've been down for the better part of a week. It all started on my birthday. I don't know what the hell I picked up a couple of days before it. I was feeling great during the party, Steve, that you put together so well. But feeling great. Went out to the Bucks today. I'll be back for the scrimmage against Miami. And here we sit outside at Hooters on Hillsborough. We've already ordered. Yeah, I'm getting some comments. And, of course, Lee's already snapped a couple of pictures. I told him, Lee, what are you doing? And next thing I know, when I don't even notice what he's doing, boom, there's the picture.
Well, I'll say this. It's better than the 2013 mustache.
I got to agree with that. That's a low bar, Steve.
It's a newsboy's hat. Just Google newsboy's hat. You'll see what Ira's wearing.
I'm proud to wear that.
I'm waiting for you to start, walk out here on the road and read all about it.
All right, Sage, you know where we are? We are about mile and a quarter from Bill Curry Ford. Bill Curry Ford, just north of the stadium on Del Mabry Highway. Gorgeous dealership. Totally modern. I was out there yesterday myself, Ira.
Nice.
100 service bays. Beautiful showroom. But more important, family-owned. The Curry family name is BillCurryFord.com. Start shopping today. Yes, you'll find different 0% financing offers. You'll find a tremendous certified pre-owned selection, and you'll find the Ira Kaufman discount.
Love it.
You like that, Ira, how your name means something at Bill Curry Ford's? People walk in there and say, Sean Sullivan, GM, give me the Ira Kaufman discount. And they,
I like it.
BillCurryFord.com. Start shopping today, seriously. Sean Sullivan, the GM, is there for you 24-7. He's got a nice little messaging system now on their website, so you can search the staff. Send Sean a message.
I talked to Sean today, Steve. Happened to mention, Sean, well, what have you seen from the rookie quarterback so far? I didn't have to ask another question for a half an hour. He broke them down one after the other.
Well, he's also our JoeBucksFan.com draft guru. We're very much looking forward to his next podcast, talking about some of what he's seen around
and
the league.
He's going to be in Todd Wright's fantasy league.
Before we get rolling here. Now, I was always working after practice. After practice, I saw you buttonhole Todd Bowles.
Yes.
And Bowles was joking with you. But as he was walking by you, Jason Light yells at Ira, I see you got up off your deathbed.
And I gave a tip of the hat to Light for that.
The newsboy's hat.
It's good that he's got that kind of sense of humor.
Well, it's always also nice to know that the big guys are listening to the podcast. Anyway, Sage, Bill Curry Ford, man, just check him out. If you haven't been there before, if you're not a loyal customer, check them out before you do anything else. BillCurryFord.com, and they'll come out to you. If you need service, come right out to your home, or they'll get you in a loaner. They got 100 of them. Lee's got, 99. Lee's got one right now.
That's right.
BillCurryFord.com.
You got a brand new one, right, Lee?
Yeah.
Water damage, Sage. Water damage hits all the time, from a storm, from busted pipes, issues, mold. You got to call Florida's Elite Restoration first. They'll come out and use that technology. They will use their experience free to give you that evaluation of what's happening, put you at ease, and if you want them to do the restoration for you, they'll do it, and they will give you $500 back if you mention Ira Kaufman when you first call, and they'll battle with your insurance company. Maybe that's money for your deductible, and they're fantastic, Ira. The 5-star Google reviews in a business like that where people are upset and it's difficult and their home may be ruined, impressive.
Make that your first phone call, Lee, Florida's Elite Restoration. Before you even call your insurance company, because Josh has worked both sides of the aisle here. He knows about how insurance works. He used to be involved there, and now he's flipped over to the other side. That gives him keen insights into what's the best deal for you, the consumer.
That's owner Josh Martin of Florida's Elite Restoration, 14 years as an insurance adjuster. Now he's on the other side fighting for the homeowners and business owners. Check him out. Make them part of your storm plan. Florida's Elite Restoration.com. But bad things happen year round, Ira. So, Florida's Elite Restoration, that is where it's at. All right, Ira. Look, first I'll ask you, underwear football today? Yes or no? Did you see anything interesting out there?
Well, I saw Lee talking to a couple of blonde sportscasters. That was interesting. But on the field, absolutely not. I'm looking forward to the scrimmage.
All right, so scrimmage tomorrow, Wednesday, full pads against the Dolphins. That should be a lot of fun. The preseason game, Ira, game two, starters didn't play, most of them. But we didn't get your feedback. Anything stand out to you there? Do you look at Jose Ramirez's three sacks? One of them wasn't much of a sack, but he did affect the play, so you got to give it to him. Three sacks, does that mean anything to you?
Well, there weren't a lot of highlights. It was a tough watch. I will say this. I like Ramirez's burst. I like his get-off. He also might have a little more variety than we're giving him credit for, but that doesn't mean that he's going to do anything against Jaden Daniels when the games count on September 8th. I'll say it before Lee does because he's going to be right behind me. There are concerns about this edge rush. I don't care what anybody says, and Lee's going to be backing me up. Braswell has not taken advantage of his opportunities. JTS is JTS. I don't know what Logan Hall is. Diaby's hurt right now, but I think he'll be a solid pro this year. Maybe approach 9 or 10 sacks. I don't know if that's enough in this league. They're facing a bunch of good quarterbacks, top-notch quarterbacks this year. And we saw what happened when they got in Patrick Mahomes' face in the Super Bowl. He had no chance. When they face Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City this year, if they don't pressure him, he'll carve them up because he's done it before to the Bucs. We remember the game in Tampa that was almost over after the first quarter. Nobody could cover Tyreek Hill when Mahomes had time. That's what it's all about. Lee, I didn't get much out of game two. I'm planning on going to game three. I want to see some of the starters. Let's see what they got.
Well, the question that Steve asked you, I will also answer. I didn't see much of anything today because where they had the offensive players lined up, you couldn't see anything. Yeah. You couldn't see a damn thing. So outside of the other sports writers, I hardly saw a damn thing. And Ira's got me going, though, with the pass rush. But you know what? People are getting sick of me whining about the pass rush, even though I'm correct. So I'm trying to temper my opinions here on the pass rush.
Nice.
I'll just say that the Bucs are banking a whole lot on hope. They're banking a whole lot on hope. Other teams, if they had this bad of a pass rush, they wouldn't make excuses for it, like Bowles saying, oh, we don't need an edge rush. We got sacks. No, you need an edge rush. Super Bowl teams have an edge rush. You wouldn't have beaten Kansas City in the Super Bowl if you didn't have an edge rush. You wouldn't have beaten the Packers in the NFC Championship if Shaq Barrett wasn't going crazy that game. You need an edge rush. I'm sorry.
And, Lee, when they go to Detroit in week two and you don't pressure Jared Goff, good night, nurse.
We saw what happened last year. Goff sat back there and picked them apart. Most teams, they don't bank on hope. They go get somebody. And you know what? I will say this, and the Bucs get mad at me for saying this, but if they were this confident in their edge rush, why did they monkey around with a stooge like Andy Gregory? They wouldn't have. They need an edge rush. And I hope they get it. I hope they're right. I hope I come home tonight to Kate Upton. I hope someone buys me a bottle of whiskey right now. I hope I win the lottery tonight. I hate the word hope. As Bobby Knight infamously said, what the hell is hope?
Steve, I have to point out to our listeners that it's been 2 weeks since you mentioned Randy Gregory's name on this podcast. Steve, you want to bring it up one more, or should we let the guy die a natural death?
He's gone, and the inevitable became reality. We don't have to go there. Glad you mentioned, or Lee mentioned, Detroit. Detroit had only one guy on the edge last year, and absolutely nothing on the other side whatsoever. They had a lot.
And their defense wasn't great, Steve.
No.
It wasn't great.
But they look how far they got. So they also had a lot less sacks than the Bucs. They did try to address it in the offseason, so did the Bucs. We'll see if they were successful. It's an argument that's going to rage on. But
it helps when you score as many points as the Lions.
The Ramirez stuff is at least exciting, to think that, hey, maybe. I haven't seen anything from Marquise Watts in preseason that gets me excited. But, Anthony Nelson is still there. They say Trashanko will be healthy. Gene Deckerhoff was on the air the other day doing an interview saying, oh, yeah, Yaya told me he's back 100% for opening day. I talked to Yaya in Jacksonville. He said no problem. So we'll see what it looks like, Sage.
I think it's thin. They're thin.
Yeah, and, every Bucs fan knows it. So, yeah, Lee's right. A lot of hope, a lot of fingers crossed, a lot of prayer going on. Sage, what do you think happened to Rondé Barber, if anything, if anybody has the audacity to say anything to him, when he's on the broadcast the other night, saying, quote, I can't wait to see the good players play. And he says, I haven't seen a lot of, quote, great-looking anything for the Bucks tonight. I know, I'm being bad, but I can't wait to see the good players play. I don't know if I've ever heard that on a Homer broadcast.
I almost dropped the remote, Lee. I almost dropped the remote. Not only is that unusual in general on a home team broadcast, but it's particularly unusual for Rondé Barber. And the play-by-play man also, Lee. Those two combined, and they've been doing Buck preseason games for a long time. It takes a lot to get Rondé Barber to say something like that. I'm waiting to see the good players. You can't take much out of this game. Something that sounds like a mild rebuke for Rondé Barber. It's unusual. It's still unusual, Lee.
I understand what you're saying, but then he waxes poetic about all these camp meet guys. So which is it? Do you want to watch him, or are you conning people with the, you know, all this? Oh, this guy's so great. Oh, this guy, he's flashing up. Come on.
And, Steve, if it was somebody else, maybe they get a little email the day after the game from somebody in the organization. Not going to be a Glazer.
So you're saying the Glazers don't have email? Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm not saying that. But I don't think they interfere to that extent with a color analyst.
Did you know about John Lynch?
Oh,
allegedly, Schiano got rid of John Lynch because he thought he was too critical.
Oh, I don't put anything past Schiano, but...
So, no, it wasn't
Rondé's got the stature, Lee, a very unique stature within this organization.
Beloved.
It's going to take more than that to get some kind of a response. They'll just pass it off. Hopefully, we'll play better Friday night, and we won't have a repeat of it.
Lee's right. You know, Rondé also praised a lot of players, and all of a sudden, he pulled back his Bucks
muzzle,
hat.
His muzzle.
Bucks
yeah.
hat for a minute, or his Bucks muzzle, and spit it out. It is what it is. So, look, Bucks fans again got to watch Sean Tucker put on a hell of a move and a run, and Bucky Irving was sharp, man. The guy runs like we haven't seen in a while. It's 2 weeks in a row for those guys. Do you think anything's changing at One Buck because of that?
I think it's changing in a big way. Big way. If they don't have Rashad White's attention by now, shame on him. He's going to make the team. He's going to be a factor this season, no matter what, whatever role he's got. But right now, he might be looking at a much reduced role because, as Steve said, these guys look different carrying the ball than Rashad White.
They do.
They look different.
You know, I've been saying this all along, and people just get so upset with me. There's a guy commenting last night, how could you not see Rashad White's a great running back? What? Based on what? What has he done? If a quarterback had four good games and 37 starts, they'd be screaming for his neck.
Now, if the guy said he's a heck of a pass catcher out of the backfield, you wouldn't argue with him.
No, I think, you know, Steve doesn't agree with me. I think he's one of the best in the league.
I'm with you.
And this brings up a question I have for you, Ira. And I'm not being sarcastic here. I'm being very sincere. He's so good as a pass catcher. I don't know how you pull him off the field. If you only bring him in on passing situations, number one, you're tipping pitches. Number two, we know they're passing situations. That means it's third and long. Do you really want to be thrown to a running back? Now, I know I'm asking a guy who thinks running back catching the ball is the highest priority on offense.
Well, I would say
that's not smart, throwing to running backs on third and long.
Now, Lee, he makes the first guy miss, Lee. I'm not worried about tipping the offense because if it's third and six, you're throwing the ball and everybody knows it. So I'm not worried about that. If it's third and one, maybe White's not in the game. If it's third and six, I don't care that the defense knows you're throwing.
It's an argument we've had before. Let me push you forward. We got a game Friday night.
I'm saying your point's well taken. Well, they look different carrying
all right,
the ball.
So they look different. So Friday is a preseason game. The joint practice, it's always a bit of a joke. They're not going to be tackling to the ground tomorrow. But
White's going to get some carries Friday night.
Yeah. So let's say they have a target on White. We want you to get four or five carries. What happens, Ira, if Rashad White goes out there, has four carries for 12 yards?
Well, he doesn't get dumped off the team.
But I'm saying in the building, do you think they might do something bold?
I still think he's the opening day ball carrier against Washington, no matter what happens.
I think so, too.
But to Steve's point, everybody wants to win. And if the running game, to me, was the number one priority with the edge rush coming into this season, that needs to improve. And White's not getting the job done, Steve, against Washington and maybe Detroit. And these other guys are getting four or five carries, and he's getting 10, and they're doing more with their four or five. I'm giving Tucker or Irving a chance to show me that they're the guy.
Is it fair to say the Bucks have put so much of an emphasis on improving the run game that White's leash is going to be short?
I think it's on a short leash, Steve.
Yeah, I agree with what Lee said, and but here's my other scenario, Sage. So the run game, you've made this point many, many times, and Lee and I have learned this in different ways, but you've made the point, Sage, that Todd Bowles does not get involved in this offense, okay? And Jason Light doesn't get involved in the offense as far as who's on the field. He hands over the groceries and they make the stew, you know? So my question to you is, why would Liam Cohen feel any sort of obligation to Rashad White if that's not what he's seeing on the field? And would Todd Bowles let him make a move like that?
Yes and yes.
Lee, what do you think?
He didn't draft White, so I would think his patience is going to be limited with White. You know, Bowles has said a couple things the last two day after game press conferences. And to me, both times were slam at White, indirect slam at White. This last time, someone asked him about the running backs. He said, they did what they were supposed to do. They cut when they were supposed to cut. They did this, they did that.
No dancing.
What has Bowles been whining about White? Not hitting holes hard enough. I think Bowles is fed up, but I think he's going to defer to Liam Cohen. And I don't think Liam Cohen's going to have...
And Steve, one thing I think it's worth mentioning, Lee, I don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves with two preseason games, but...
Why not? Lee, that's the fun of this time of year.
Steve, we got to acknowledge, at least I have to acknowledge, the holes look bigger. The holes look bigger. They do. But Tucker and Irving are doing a good job of making people miss.
Sage, I think it's the untold story so far of this season. Most fans and other media, oh, there's no drama. Rashad White is the guy. I think that it's a close race. You know, it's like you hear people in Hooters here talking politics. They think one candidate's way ahead of the other. Nah, it's a real close race. And we'll see what shakes out.
Irving has done nothing to hurt himself.
No.
Nothing.
No.
He looks good, man. I mean, let's pretend Rashad White wasn't here. Something happened, he wasn't here.
Irving's number one back.
The fans would be going bananas for Irving, but because they believe so much in White, it's kind of calmed down. I don't know. Mark Dominic, if you believe that Mark Dominic has any sort of contacts in the building, which he does. He hired Greenberg. Shelton Quarles worked for him. He still keeps track.
Drafted Levante.
Still talks to Will Golston, all those guys. If Dominic, if you put any credence into what he says, he was on the air the other day saying Bucky Irving's going to take receptions away from Rashad White.
Well, I'll say this. I think Irving is a good pass catcher out of the backfield.
Yeah.
White's a rare pass catcher out of the backfield.
I agree.
I'm not going to be quick to give that up. I think it's a valuable commodity.
Like I said earlier, White is so good at that, I don't know how you pull him off the field, even though he does suck as a running back.
But I think Irving is a good pass-catching back. Yeah. I do.
Let's clarify. I don't think – I agree Rashad White is a rare at catching the ball. He's just not rare after the catch. All right, Sage. So Mayfield took the podium. You were sitting there doing your sagely things that you do, and Todd Bowles was out there today. Mayfield had some things to say the other day, but – anything strike you from Mayfield today?
Well, he seems comfortable. He seems...
Yeah.
I don't want to say that the chip's off his shoulder, Lee, because I think that could be a negative for Baker Mayfield, because I think it drives him. Just like it always drove Brady. I hate to put Mayfield and Brady in the same sentence, but Brady never forgot that he was drafted in the sixth round.
Never.
He never forgot it. He'll never forget that he got drummed out of Cleveland and then Carolina.
Yeah.
You know, he's not going to forget that. It seems like he's a guy that... I made a hell of a decision coming to Tampa. That's what it looks like. He's very at peace with himself. He's got his family life. Now he's matured. Will he do what he did last year, Lee? I'm not sure he's going to match those numbers. But I think he'll have a good season.
You know, I heard something, listened to two different podcasts recently.
Got something to do with Bette Midler?
No.
Okay.
Both these podcasts were sort of stat geeky guys. One of them said, when the Bucks decide to air it out, Mayfield's numbers were very good. Then they had this, and this will really drive you nuts. When the Bucs went play action, Mayfield was one of the worst quarterbacks in the league. When they went away from play action and started throwing the ball, Mayfield was top third in the league. Okay, that intrigued me. And then the second podcast, these guys were very much stat geeks. They said Mayfield is surprisingly good when they open up an offense and go four wide. And I got to thinking, how did he get to be a first overall pick? He was in Lincoln Riley's offense. What's Lincoln Riley's offense?
Wide
it's,
open.
It's Leach's offense, which is throw some more. And I'm like wondering, like, maybe these guys might be onto something. Because Mayfield made his bones in a what do they call that, gimmicky offense, air raid offense. Anyway, throwing the ball a hell of a lot. I thought it was very intriguing that play action, Mayfield's a bad quarterback. Four wide, he's a good quarterback.
Well, you might be making my point in a sense, Lee, because I've said teams don't respect the buck play action. Why would you? Play action is based on establishing the run and creating some doubt among the linebackers that we might have to creep up a little. Safeties might have to creep up on run support. None of that happens when you're playing the Bucks, at least up to this point for the last 2 years. So why should play action be effective? I don't even think you should run it until the Bucks straighten out their running game. So I'm not going to say immediately that Mayfield's a bad play action quarterback. I think that's a function of no respect for play action. We don't care if they're running the ball. We hope they hand it off. We're going after Mayfield.
So look, there's a lot of ways to look at the play action thing. We've talked about it before. Some people say it doesn't matter. Just doing play action doesn't matter what's going on otherwise. But ultimately, those claims don't really take into account real football. Because real football tells you that play action is about the mind of the defender. So when you have the worst possible running game, play action, I would think, changes in the defensive mindset versus a team that can maybe hurt you a little in the run game. So
taking the aggressiveness out of the defense.
Exactly. So it's subtle. All those things add up. And if it is better, you know, Mayfield told SiriusXM NFL Radio yesterday, Sage, he laughed. It was the second time that he said this now. Yesterday, he said running game's going to be drastically better than it was. That's a bold claim. That's the second time he said that this offseason. He doesn't say it to the local Tampa media, but whenever he gets out on these national things, he's like, oh, man, you know, our running game.
You know who surprised me today, Steve, at the podium? And I hadn't heard him that much at the podium, Lee, not that much during the season. They didn't drag him out very much last year, even though he had a solid season. Gedeke.
Oh, yeah, he's got personality, yeah.
How about this quote from Gedeke? I think my ceiling is, like, off the charts or something. I don't know what the phrase was, but it's like...
All pro, he said all pro.
It's extremely high. I don't mind that kind of confidence, Lee. I don't mind it because he played well last year.
He almost got in a fight today. He was hollering at somebody. I could hear him from the bleachers. He kept hollering and hollering, and there was a water break, and he walked out from the bench, hollered some more. Well, I thought there was going to be a brawl or something.
It looks like he's going to end up as another light stellar draft pick.
Yeah, he had an excellent year last year, and he's super strong. If you ask Tristan Wirfs.
He stays healthy, right? He's healthy.
If you ask Tristan Wirfs, Wirfs will say that Gedeke's stronger, and Gedeke will say, I'm stronger than Wirfs. They work out all the time. And look, he's got some experience now. He's got the size, 25 years old. He's confident as hell. He may turn out to be that guy, which would be unbelievable, but Jason Light.
Steve said something. He quoted Bowles saying we're going to be drastically better with the run.
No, that was Mayfield.
Oh, that was Mayfield? At the risk of ticking off somebody that told me this in confidence. I'm not saying who, but it was someone with the Bucks. Maybe 2 weeks ago, this person looked at me, and he did one of these, like that, like smiled and smacked his lips, and he said, we can run the ball now.
Well, I had somebody along those lines, Lee, and Buck fans aren't going to want to hear it. But I had somebody in the Buck organization talking about Braswell saying he's not going to hold up against the run. I don't think he's going to hold up. That was off the record. But it was somebody that watches
practice.
I got you,
Sage. I'm
a little worried about Braswell at this point, Lee.
And I generally give rookies benefit of the doubt for the first year because they're rookies. Rookies play like rookies because they're rookies.
Especially an edge rusher, you're not expecting that much out of a rookie.
Exactly. That's rare. I mean, for a second-round guy to blow up as an edge rusher, that's unreasonable. Historically, rookie edge rushers don't do anything. So, in general, I don't care where the rookie plays, I generally give rookies a year. Like, okay, you're a rookie. I don't expect you to play well. But with Braswell, I think it says something that we don't see him rush the passer much. Because the Bucks have come out and said, well, he needs work elsewhere. Well, he must need a hell of a lot of work because he's not rushing the passer. They didn't draft Braswell to be next to Jalen Rams. They didn't draft Braswell to be the next Levante David. They drafted him to rush the passer.
Put guys on the ground.
Yeah, so I don't give a damn if he can't cover anybody. What I do give a damn about if he turns out to be the next Logan Hall.
I hear you. Stevie, to this point, and a long way to go, but he hasn't capitalized on a golden opportunity with Diaby being hurt.
Hey, look, Braswell, he's played, what, 30 preseason snaps or so? To me, I watched them all, studied them all. They don't look very good. Bucks say they do look pretty good. We hear the hype. We'll see what happens coming up. But most edge rushers who are going to do something as rookies, they flash. They flash in the preseason because of who they're going against and their fire and their game and their talent if they're, you know, drafted with that kind of athleticism. So we'll see. Tristan Wirfs, I was on Sirius IRA saying that he thinks the run game could be the last piece of the puzzle to a Super Bowl. And, you know, he didn't go crazy of why and didn't want to get into it. But, you know, a lot of hype, a lot of interest. But I don't have a lot of faith in the Bucs' assessment of the running game. Like, I have just as much faith in yours and Lee's and mine, because the Bucs would have told you for years, oh, we got a good running game and it hasn't been very good, or we can run the ball. So we'll see.
What we hear all this past 2 years, it's fixable. It's fixable. The problems in a run game are fixable.
And
you and I did two podcasts a week saying, you're going to fix it or what? Talks easy, Lee. Talks easy. And, Steve, here's another telltale thing. Not specific to the Bucks, but you hear it all the time in preseason. Well, the guy's got another year of experience. He's going to be much better next season. I don't buy that all the time either. That's something when you got nothing else to say.
I buy it most of the time because he should be better, right? I mean, he should be.
Well, now you got tape on the guy, Lee. I mean, people have tape on him. Diaby's facing that this year. You know, can he elevate his game? Because he's not a surprise anymore.
Well, I'll say something that will piss off Bucks people. You know, we heard about Jose Ramirez is such a weekday warrior on a practice squad. Oh, Tristan Wirfs struggled with him. Then why the hell wasn't he on the 53? Why the hell wasn't he on the field last year if he's that damn good? If he's giving Tristan Wirfs problems, you're a playoff team, you need an edge rush, that's on you that you didn't call him up. That's on you.
And if he's on the practice squad, he could be plucked away in two seconds.
31 other teams did not deem him good enough to do that. So when they say he gave Tristan Wirfs problems, and you knew you had an issue with the pass rush, you knew it. Shaq Barrett wasn't doing anything. JTS wasn't doing anything. You knew you needed help. And you let him on the practice squad if you thought he was any good? That's your problem. And if he was that good, he should have been on the 53. But he was not. I want Jose Ramirez to break Michael Strahan's record. I hope he does. He's that damn good, but yet he's on the practice squad. You left him available for someone else to pick? Give me a break.
Well, it's funny Lee mentioned that because Tristan Wirfs was on Sirius yesterday, Ira, and he went out of his way to say that Jose Ramirez made him such a better left tackle because of all of those incredible sessions in practice when he was on the scout team. And Wirf said, I hope I've done some of that for him.
Maybe this kid's got the goods, Lee.
Yeah,
maybe
absolutely.
He does.
I really hope so. I like the kid. But if he was that good, why didn't you call him up?
Well, they make mistakes. They make mistakes. Front office makes mistakes.
Maybe he's better this year.
Well,
maybe.
Given
why
the
didn't
fact
they start
they
Diaby from day one?
Given them, there you go. Yeah. I had to collect myself at San Francisco. He was playing so well, and Bowles kept pulling him off the field. Like, what are you doing? And then the next week he starts.
It's fun time, Sage. You know, we're fired up. We're ready for some real football around here.
I can't wait for September 8th. I asked Bowles today, Lee, you mentioned I would talk to Bowles.
Yeah, what the hell did he tell you over there?
Well, I asked him if he is boring in on the Commanders. He was kind of lukewarm about it.
Really?
I don't think they have his full attention yet, but they will.
Interesting.
But they will. And by the way, speaking of Jaden Daniels, who is the number one concern for Buck fans, no question, going into week one. They ain't worried about McLaurin catching four touchdown passes. Apparently, Steve, you probably read the story because you don't miss anything and neither do you, Lee. Apparently, Dan Quinn laid the law down to Jaden Daniels after the latest preseason game. Not that he was playing poorly, but that he's running with full crazy abandon like he's still in college. And Quinn says, get down.
Yeah.
Get down.
You'll get killed.
And, yeah, you'll get killed. And that's something Daniels is going to have to work on. Look at Anthony Richardson last year. It happens with some of these guys.
Well, Richardson, here's the thing about Richardson. he was getting hurt in college. Forget the NFL. And then he got hurt in with the Colts. Like, gee, that's a surprise.
Steve, you can only take so many hits as a quarterback. Something's going to happen. Something's going to happen.
Quinn has seen it before. He's called defenses against these guys. He knows what he's telling his defenders. Look, you know, if you got a shot on this guy, take it. If you get a penalty, we'll deal with it.
Yeah,
you know?
We'll deal with
Knock
it.
Knock the guy out. Send a message.
I always love what Phil Simms said about running quarterbacks. You don't get quicker as you get older.
Now, he is quick. Josh Allen had that problem, and he's still once in a while guilty of it. But now he goes down.
Yeah.
Josh Allen goes.
He learned.
And Jaden Daniels is not built like Josh Allen.
No, he's not. That's a linebacker.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sage, I'm over here at BillCurryFord.com clicking on the new car specials. And
what do you see, Steve? What do you see?
I'm excited. You need a Mustang, Ira. Maybe a...
What color?
With that newspaper hat?
Yeah, yellow?
Ford Bronco Raptor. I think you got to shift to be a Raptor guy. Well, anyway, they'll still beat any price by $100 at Bill Curry Ford. That's right there in writing at the website.
Steve, with this hat, what car does this match up with?
Station wagon.
I thought he was going to say a sports car early.
I don't know. I like the hat, but I don't know if it's a right. if it's a car vibe.
Describe the hat, Steve.
That no words. Newsboy's hat.
No words. Yeah, newsboy. Yeah.
You like Google. It straight on? Because my wife likes it a little to the side.
Yeah, a little to the side.
She says I'm a little to the side.
A little character.
I like the hat, but that screams SUV.
Screams 1938 is what it screams. All right, Florida's Elite Restoration. Remember them in your time of need. FloridasEliteRestoration.com. Get there. Be prepared for any storm damage. And mention Ira or Joe Bucks fan when you call. $500 back if you need their services is waiting for you. All right, Sage, last question, because we're going to shoot a little podcast tomorrow after the joint practice, after our quickie today.
Maybe Sal Powell will join us.
Yeah, Sal Palantonio. I'm gonna put the squeeze on him.
What's going on with ESPN? There'll be two ESPN people in 3 days.
Well, Sal Powell loves to come to Tampa. We know that.
Now, someone told me he's got family nearby.
I think he does, and a tennis time at about 3 o'clock at Harbor Island.
Oh, he's a tennis guy.
Yeah, he loves it.
Yeah, big tennis guy. All right, so Ira, does this concern you at all? Baker Mayfield on Sirius Radio yesterday, he made it clear that yes, while Graham Barton is the starting center, I'm going to be making those offensive line calls and setting their protections for now. That's an added responsibility. Not every quarterback does it. The great quarterbacks often do, but not always. They still rely on their center. Does that concern you at all?
No, because the way I look at it, it's taking a burden off Graham Barton, letting him be the best he can be while he didn't say it was going to last for 17 games.
No.
Lee, I got no problem with that. First of all, Mayfield's got experience. He's seen a lot of defenses. He's smart. I trust him. I trust him to get the Bucs in optimum matchups. I do. And to ask Barton to do it game one, why? Why do you have to put that extra burden on him? I think Barton's going to be one heck of a player. I think he's going to be a very good Jason-like draft pick. And by midseason, I expect Mayfield to let go of the reins and turn it back over to Barton. I don't have a problem early in the season.
I tend to agree with you. Let the rookie get his feet wet.
He's got enough going up against 320-pound nose tackles.
I don't have an opinion on it, Ira, but, you know, you're the sage. You've seen this for years, and it is something different, so we shall see.
I think Barton's been very impressive, Steve. Very impressive.
Yeah, so far so good. I can't wait to see him against first-teamers on Friday night. All right, Ira, I can't say it. I have just a feeling that this next podcast after the joint practice against the Dolphins is going to be have a little extra juice to it, and maybe I can we can squeeze somebody on here, somebody special.
Should I wear the hat for the podcast,
yeah.
Steve?
I don't know if you should wear the hat on the field. I don't know.
All right.
Ira, here's something that might take away on the offensive line. Now, Bowles is saying that outside linebackers, that might be their deepest position. I'm starting to think this offensive line might be damn deep.
Especially if Klein turns out to be a player.
Klein,
which he might be.
And this Merle Haggard, although he's hurt, he impressed me. I think this line's got a chance.
And Hainsey's versatile.
You have an NFL starting center who's now a backup. A guy
can play,
2 years
both guard positions in center. Hainsey's certainly going to dress. He's dressing every week.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I just think they got a chance to be very deep on the offensive line.
I haven't seen enough of Bredesen to make a call on Bredesen.
Well, every time I watch this guy Schooley play, that's his name, Schooley, a guy gets worked over constantly. So I don't think they have a good backup tackle necessarily. Brandon Walton is still there, who's actually played and done okay. I'm not sure. I'm not really sure, honestly, how good Cody Mauch is. I have to see it. Okay,
he's better.
See it. And
Bredesen.
Bredesen looks powerful, but we'll see. I mean, I don't have a problem with the line. Are they super deep? I don't know. The Hainsey thing is very, very valuable. Teams don't have a guy like Hainsey to just step in at center and pass block
it
like that.
He gives you a little peace of mind on game day.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah.
Damn right. All right, Sage, you give people peace of mind because you are there for them at Apple Podcasts, Podbean, Podcast Addict, Joe Bucks
fan. Can I have a couple of those tater tots, Steve?
They're cold, but go for it.